Welcome to Crusade with Me, the podcast where we'll walk through faith and reflect on spiritual practices and prepare our hearts for the journey ahead. I'm Dave, and I'm joined by my wife, Kathy, today. And we're talking about the season of preparation we're entering, the time before Lent, marked by the pre-Lenten observance of Septuagesima. Whether you're well-versed in the liturgical calendar, or this is a new concept to you, this episode will help guide us in preparing spiritually with a Lent through a reflective balance approach that brings together ancient practices of prayer, fasting, and repentance. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Well, hello, my love.
Yeah, hello.
We've had a lively time this weekend, have we not?
Yes. I'm a little tired.
We are both a little tired. I had a couple of episodes drop. Those were pre-recorded and scheduled to just drop. We left town last Friday, got back in town today. Want to talk about what we did?
Yes. Our family, my mother, my four siblings, well, my three siblings. Sorry, I include myself in that. My mother has four children, so I am one of those. And the spouses. So there's nine of us. And once a year, my father passed away in 2020. And since that was COVID, during COVID, we were not able to really get to visit. So that was like in September. So when my mom's birthday rolled around that following February, we decided that we would get together and rent like an Airbnb and celebrate my mom's birthday that year.
Right.
And we did that and had a wonderful time. And we picked the place and planned the event and stuff. And we did it.
No, you were right the first time. You picked the place.
I did. I liked it. So we did it over President's Day weekend because that falls real close to my mom's, you know, birthday. So we get a 4-day weekend out of it. And so, yeah, and now we just kind of take turns. Everybody picks, you know, we start at the top age-wise, and everybody picks a place, a location. And so we've gone some pretty interesting places, but we've learned over time that really we just like staying put, not going anywhere. We play games. Mm-hmm. We love the bowl game where you just pick random.
The fish bowl game. Yeah.
Yeah. You pick random words, topics, people, you throw them in a bowl, and then you have to, the first round is like what you just, you have to,
you have to describe it without using
get
the
people
word.
Guess right. it. And we, oh, of course, we love doing boys against girls, and I think the girls are victorious after 5 years in a row. So, anyways, it's back to us now. And so we plan this year, and, so we call it the siblings / mother's birthday weekend.
Right.
And so we have a wonderful time. Well, this year, mother had informed all of us, you know, when everybody says, you know, mom, what you want for your birthday. Well, this year she told everyone that she just wanted to have church service together because it's been probably 35 to 40 years since we've all gone to church together. And at some point I'm really working her. I would like to do a podcast with her because I think my mom.
I would too, right? I loved it.
I know we've talked about this before. We don't really like the word testimony, but I think she has a lovely testimony because, let me just give you a little precursor. My dad didn't go to church for a lot of my childhood, but we could talk about that when we talk about it with her.
Right.
But she was, you know, she had four children and she did not drive. But somehow she found a way to get us to church 3 times a week. And it's her, because of her dedication and her love of God, that I'm who I am today. It's by her example. So anyways, so we took all of the things that we needed to have a church service yesterday and to sit there with my brothers and my mother and my husband and my sister-in-laws. And we had a full church service yesterday. And what was really nice about that is I was communicating with the owner of the Airbnb today. And she is did some missionary work for like 12 years in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I shared with her that we had had service, and she just said, "This is why I do what I do." And she had shared that in her family group chat, and she just loved that. So in fact, I'm going to send some pictures to her of that. But so that's what we did this weekend.
She probably didn't know that her dining table could be an altar.
Yeah, right. She probably did not. And her salad bowl became a turned upside down, held the altar
service book. For
yeah,
us, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wait till she finds out.
Yeah.
Well, you can make do in any situation.
Well, we do that best, right?
We do.
And entire church fit into a carry on bag.
A cracker barrel bag.
That's right. Yeah.
One holy night. Yep.
So, you know, yesterday was Sunday. Today is Monday evening, and I wanted to get this out. And yesterday we celebrate. It is Septuagesima, and that's a significant Sunday in the church calendar. That's the Sunday before the beginning of Lent. And Septa is for 70. So it's marking, this is the 70th day before we get to Easter, mm-hmm. All right? That's Latin, and that's really all that means. And while it's not universally observed across all Christian traditions, we happen to use the one-year liturgical calendar, not the three, but the one. And in that one-year liturgical calendar use, they call out Septuagesima. And it serves as kind of a powerful reminder that the season of Lent is coming, and now is the time to start preparing ourselves as we reflect on these pre-Lenten times. We'll look at how we can ready our hearts and minds for the journey ahead. And that's through prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and repentance. As I said, it's the final phase of preparation, Septuagesima, coming roughly 70 days ahead of Easter, and serves as a reminder that we're yet in full season of Lent. We're not there yet, but it's coming. It's transition time. Mm-hmm. So we've finished up the Epiphany, and that technically ended with the Transfiguration. And we're now transitioning, so we'll have to start getting more solemnity or more somber music as we get into the Lenten season.
Going to get into those minor keys.
There you go. And, all, you know, look at it this way. It's a time to prepare. It's time to quiet our hearts, to reflect on the journey we're about to undertake.
But when you do that, that just means the joy is going to be magnificent on Easter morning.
Exactly right. And I've let it be known, right? You know this. This is my favorite time of year, right?
I know. Yeah, it's become mine.
Right.
I think only because the first year that we really celebrated it in the church, you know, when they talked about putting the Alleluias away, you're like, oh, I don't even know what that means.
Right.
But when you experience it in the Easter morning, when you're singing them, you're like, it's like
right
being in the presence of angels when you hear them, or you hear the bells and you hear,
I want you to start thinking melodious. About that, because I want you to, what we kind of initiated at the church.
Uh-huh. Right.
I want to cover some things, but then I want you to start kind of explain how we didn't transition from the Epiphany to Lent, but once we got into Lent, and then when we transitioned through Holy Week,
mm-hmm.
And something we started that became somewhat of a tradition there at that mm-hmm. congregation.
I think it's still there, yeah.
Yes. But You know, Septuagesima brings us to a moment of transition from this festivity and the fullness of the Epiphany into a season of more focused repentance and spiritual reflection. It's preparing us for the demands of Lent, really. And Lent can be demanding on us. And I'm really putting this out there that I want everybody listening to think about this. And I'm asking people to crusade with me, crusade mm-hmm. with us, and start thinking about it now. I would like to have a lot of people to help crusade with us during this Lenten season. Mm-hmm. And that, which calls us to self-examination, fasting, prayer, and humility. So it is a season of reflection, urging us to take a sober look at our spiritual lives, to consider our attachment to the world, and to make space for God to do a work of renewal in us. Mm-hmm. So the season leading up to Lent invites us to remember our need for repentance. You know, when repentance is not about self-condemnation. I want to be real clear. I think sometimes people think when we talk about repent, they think it's like, oh my gosh, you're condemning yourself, but it's about returning to the merciful embrace of God, really. Mm-hmm. And it's a time to acknowledge our failures and to turn away from sin and to allow God to reshape us. Mm-hmm. So repentance should not be seen as a burden, but as an opportunity for transformation. It's a time to turn our hearts back towards God, to remember his mercy, and to invite him to bring healing into the areas of our lives that are broken or in need of renewal. So now is a time to ask ourselves, what are the areas of my life that need cleansing? What attachments or habits are keeping me from growing in love and devotion to God? And so that's why I'm wanting to put this out there tonight, so that, you know, you're not going to have quite 70 days, mm-hmm. but till Easter. But more importantly, we only got a few weeks till we hit the Lenten season. So mm-hmm. I want people to start thinking about this now.
Yes.
So fasting, you know, a lot of people hear about fasting and talk about fasting, and fasting is a discipline that we associate strongly with Lent. But the pre-Lenten period is a time to begin cultivating a mindset of self-discipline and sacrifice. Fasting isn't just about abstaining from food, by the way, mm-hmm. but about making space for God. It's really about simplifying our lives and giving up distractions that pull our focus away from him. Then there's almsgiving, and that's a key aspect in preparation. Fasting gives us, givings are not separate practices, but two sides of the same coin. As we deny ourselves certain comforts or pleasures, we are called to give those resources to others in need, to share in the suffering of others, and to practice compassion and generosity. So as you prepare for Lent, consider what areas of your life could benefit from more simplicity. Are there comforts or distractions you can begin to give up now to focus more on God? How can you turn that self-denial into service toward others, sharing in their need with your time, talents, and resources? And then we get into the subject of, we can't talk about Lenten season without talking about prayer, right? Prayer is the foundation of Lent, and it is a time to intentionally draw near to God, not just in formal worship, but in everyday moments of communion with him. In preparation for the season, start reflecting on how you can increase your prayer life. Can you set aside more time in the morning or in the evening? Will you incorporate new practices of prayer into your routine? Lent is also about watchfulness. Lent calls us to be spiritually alert to recognize where we are being led astray and to bring those areas before God. It's a time to reflect on where our hearts and minds have wandered and to ask God to help us remain steadfast in the faith. And so begin now to assess your life in prayer. Are there areas where you're spiritually distracted? Are there things that you've allowed to take God's place in your heart? Prepare your heart for the Lenten discipline of remaining alert to God's presence and calling. You want to share what we did at one of the congregations? I was actually an elder there for several years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about the prayer path?
Yeah.
Well, when we were at the Christian church, we had done
a prayer path.
And it was successful. So then when we were at the Lutheran church, we had pastor there. We called it Lutheranize it.
We took some of the evangelical free stuff out and put. Mm-hmm. We did Lutheranize.
And that was, so people in the congregation kind of signed up for a time. So like every 15 minutes, someone would come in and you were staggered, kind of give people their space. And it became very, meaningful. But there was different stations.
I think there was 12 stations, right?
You have different activities at each station. Sometimes you just, write something down, throw it away. Or we had sand. We had at one station and, you could write in the sand. I think there was water, just different elements, a TV screen. They had static, just trying to knock out the noise and stuff.
Correct.
Right. And then there was,
And if I recollect correctly, I think we kind of expanded that the second year. The first year we did it, we just did the prayer path, and that was during Lent.
Yes.
Then on the weekend of Palm Sunday, remember, we kind of canvassed the Lutherans. We got the Lutherans to do some door knocking.
We didn't get a lot of people to help us, but yeah, no. We went out and we just took prayer requests. We knocked on doors and asked people in their homes if they had anything they wanted us to pray for. Some people were like, nope, we're good.
Right.
And some people would, so we wrote them down and then we did a 12-hour prayer vigil.
Well, before we did that, though, remember, we did also station at the local drugstore,
right.
I won't name the drugstore, right. But yes.
But we had people for like 3 days, round the clock, 72 hours.
Well, from the close of the Good Friday service until Easter morning service, there was someone at the building praying.
Right.
For these prayer requests that we had received.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. And of course, there's, some really long gaps where people hadn't signed up. So I think like the last, like Easter night, well, so that Saturday night. So the cool thing about that was, of course, the altar guild had come in at some point and had decorated so that you got Easter lilies everywhere.
Right.
And so I got my ham in the oven early Easter morning and I decided I'm going to bring some coffee up to you. And so it's just me and you, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and you're in there praying. And these prayers had been prayed over and over, and it was so neat to see all the people who had been in there praying over these prayers. And it's just me and you. We're sitting on the front row of the church. We're holding hands. We're praying. Then we just started singing hymns.
Yep.
And it was the most wonderful feeling.
I remember that.
To be a part. Yeah. Yep. Kind of smelled like a funeral home, but.
It really did.
But it was beautiful.
A funeral home where no one died.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Or died and came back.
Yep.
That's more accurate. So Lent isn't just about giving up, right? I mean, it's about taking up. in my estimation, taking up the practices of humility, of kindness, patience, generosity that reflect the characters of Christ. And we prepare for Lent. It's a time to identify where we are spiritually weak and invite God to cultivate virtues in us. Perhaps your struggle with impatience, Dave, or pride, or a lack of forgiveness. Now is a time to reflect on these areas and ask God to help you to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. So how can you become more loving, more kind, more generous? I always go to my wife and I ask her. And she tells me. No. Begin to practice these virtues even now in preparation for the Lenten journey. So it's all about planning. And that's really that's what this podcast today, this episode is about. It's about, I want people to really start planning what they're going to do. You know, you don't just start a crusade.
Right.
You need to plan. Mm-hmm. And so I'm calling on anyone listening. Now is the time to begin forming a plan for the season ahead. What are the specific spiritual practices you want to focus on during Lent? Will you emphasize prayer or fasting or reading scriptures or acts of mercy or all the above? I mean, that's really a great way to do it.
Right.
Set clear and attainable goals for yourself. Remember, Lent is not a time for legalism. I mean, I have to say that, right? But a time for intentional spiritual growth. Write down your goals and create a practical plan to stay on track. You could also seek the counsel of a pastor or a priest or spiritual guide or whatever you... But talk about it. Mm-hmm. Talk about it, your plan, what you want out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I talk about, being intentional. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until Ash Wednesday to start making preparations, all right? That's probably a little too late. Talk to someone now who can walk alongside you in this season.
I was just going to say that. If you have a spouse.
Correct.
Make sure you're doing it together.
And I'm going to try, you know, I am really going to try some fasting. I mean, fasting, like I've never fasted before. But now that you got me that copper water bottle, I'm thinking about...
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to fast, the woman who cooks needs to know that.
Well, not for 40 days, but you know me, sweetheart. I fast in like hour and a half increments, right?
I don't want to be making like a big Thanksgiving dinner and you're fasting, you know.
Yeah, that would not be good. No, but as we enter the season of Lent, it's important to take stock of our lives and ask God to show us where we need to change. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell us. He knows, right? Mm-hmm. Start now in quiet reflection. What are the habits, distractions, or sins that keep me from God? How can I begin to prepare my heart for a season of change? And how can I set aside more time for prayer or worship and service to others? I started this episode talking about Septuagesima, and it's a gentle reminder that Lent is approaching. It's a time for preparation, but not yet the full call to sacrifice that comes with Lent, like the first note of a symphony, so to speak. Setting the tone for what is to come. Just as we reflect on the parable of the vineyard workers or the call to repentance during this time, we are reminded that God's grace is abundant and he is inviting us to prepare ourselves for the work he will do in us through the Lenten season. You know, as we read Matthew yesterday during the readings, have you given Lent a lot of thought this year yet? I'll be honest with you, I have not. Well, I did just because I was preparing for yesterday.
Right. No, I had the weekend.
You had a lot of things on your mind.
Yeah,
yes.
I had the weekend to get through. But obviously, after yesterday, I had to start thinking about it. But, I've done a lot of different things during Lent. You know, I've done the normal give up think of Facebook.
Sure, sure.
And I did that, and it turned into 4 years.
And then 1 year before that, you
gave
up.
I just got back on Facebook just this year when you started this podcast.
I'm
like, you're like, oh, you got to get on so you could share it. Other than that, I gave it up in 2020.
Right.
So I've done that. I gave up chocolate for a whole year.
Right. It started for the Lent, and then you never stopped.
And then I just kept going. But one of my favorite things to do is, it's not giving something up. It's actually, I started praying for someone every day.
Mm-hmm.
And and this was not an original thought of my own. I'd read it somewhere.
Right.
What I would do was hang on to my Christmas cards, and I would pick a different family or whoever sent the Christmas cards. Sure. And I would pray for them. Now I don't even get 40 Christmas cards.
No.
But and then another year, I would choose. I make my master list, and each day I would write a letter to someone and let them know what they meant to me, what they mean to me, and how they impacted my life. Right. And that was very emotional, more emotional than I thought it was going to be. It was very hard for me to do. And I was going, some of these people, I was going way back.
Right, right.
And what I found from that is some of those people didn't make it the whole year. And so I'm really glad that I did that.
Sure, right.
So it doesn't have to be giving something up. Again, it's like we talked about in my last podcast, it's challenging yourself to do something for someone else. It doesn't cost you anything but a stamp, which, okay, that's getting kind of pricey. But
well, and may I suggest, in the 21st century, I love to write letters. Okay, I don't love to write letters. I do write letters occasionally.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many men have my age have a fountain pen, but I have a fountain pen. I have a couple of fountain pens, right? I do like to write with my fountain pen.
Mm-hmm.
But you could even do that through text if you know the person.
Right. You can. And when I gave up Facebook that year, I wanted to also be very intentional.
I agree.
The reason was one of the things I wanted to be intentional about was I was going to send cards, and I did.
Sure.
I wanted to not have to be all, oh, happy birthday on Facebook.
Right.
I wanted to be intentional and send cards to people on their birthday, because that seems to be a dying thing, you know?
I agree.
Kind of like Christmas cards. It's like, if you can do all that on Facebook, it kind of loses its...
It's far less personal. Absolutely, it is far less
personal. And so I started sending birthday cards and writing notes, just small notes to people and mailing them. And then it just kind of, you know.
But I'm just saying that for different people that are at different places in their lives, if they're not prepared.
Yeah.
What I did 1 year was I, since we were here too, I recall doing this. I picked a family and I did one a week. Remember, and then I wrote them a letter, because actually I ended up sending a couple letters to guys at work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't send them. I wrote them a letter and I put an envelope and handed it to them at work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a method also. It's limitless what you could do.
Right.
You know, it really is. But there's just like people to start thinking about this, and we'll be more intentional with this podcast as we approach and then get into Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a couple of weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting there. my favorite time of the year. And you described why, right? I mean, you did, because, yes, putting away the alleluias. Remember at the Lutheran church there, well, most of them do this. They they veil the crucifix and or the risen Jesus. Most of them have a risen Jesus.
The rising. Church just becomes bland.
Dark, right? Right. Yeah. And then when they put the alleluias away and remember the, I guess that wasn't until Good Friday Maundy Thursday, they actually stripped the altar. Right. That just gets me going. All that gets me going. I just put you in the right mindset for me, you know? And I understand everybody's a little different, but hey, it's important. It is important. And it's not only is it important, as people to be intentional and be reflective, to be sober minded, right? We've been called by scripture to be sober minded. And that's what this season is about. It's about what Lent is about. And as I stated in the last couple of episodes about forming good habits and how you just small things, just do small things and build on those and how impactful that can be. Lent is that perfect time to start doing that, start applying those skills that we learn, like through James Clear, on starting with just a little change, just a little different, start a small habit and then build on that every other day or every once a week or what have you. Man, is that impactful. Man, is that impactful. Did you have any closing thoughts on our pre-Lenten episode?
I would just say one of the good things about technology is if you need any ideas or resources, they are out there.
Absolutely.
As a woman, I would say Pinterest has some great ideas for heading into the Lenten season. There are some, especially if you have little children, there's some great Lenten meal ideas heading into like Holy Week.
Right, right.
I've seen some really nice, teaching ideas, you know, to have like a Lenten meal. But again, plan now.
Correct, correct.
So, but yeah, if you're looking for something, again, behind prayer, behind reading your Bible, if you want something, just something different, if you're not looking to give up something, you want to do something. I've also, you know, read things about, you know, don't buy anything during
Lent. Correct.
Donate, right. Or if you buy for everything you buy, you need to donate something. You know, anything you bring into your house,
correct,
then you need to donate something. So, but there's lots of good ideas. Find what's right for you.
I really like focusing on the trying to simplify our lives for that 40-day period.
Yep.
I really do like that. And, you know, just slow it down a little bit.
Yep.
And I know it's hard sometimes with work. I hold a full-time job. It's difficult. Not impossible. And, man, I just get fired up and I get excited about it. Let's close with a prayer. Almighty God, as we approach the season of Lent, we come to you with humble hearts. We thank you for the grace that calls us to repentance. And we pray for the strength to walk faithfully through this season of preparation. Help us to begin now the work of turning away from distractions, embracing the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and service, and growing in the virtues that reflect your love. May our hearts be ready to receive the fullness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me on this journey of preparation as we move closer to Lent. Let's remember that it's not simply a time of self-denial, but it's a time of spiritual renewal. Let us walk together, seeking God's mercy and grace. And until next time, may God bless you richly in this season of reflection and growth. Take care and be at peace, and always crusade with me.